always ask me, do I have any books with me? The first book, Napoleon's Nose, is out of print. The second book hasn't been published yet. So bar the odd anthology and the latest edition of the Poetry Ireland Review, I have this notebook, which is what I'm going to be reading from. The poems are all from the second collection, which is called Daytime Astronomy. I've been living in Ireland for about 15, 16 years. 7 of those years were spent in Dublin, where I was teaching various places. And the first poem I'm going to read is a Scottish-based poem from the Hebrides, small island called Ling, which was a slate production island. We used slate for all over here, Ireland, and the UK as well, as for export to the wider empire. It's called Winning the Slate. When wolves live in the mind, and fear of death confounds me, I will go to the house of the old deer, who coexists with 35 mentally ill parrots. I will turn like the islander 7 years afore my last breath, turn and drill the shot holes and pack them with gunpowder. At the shout of ho, 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 the rest of the splitters and dressers will bundle me, quarry me a dyke swarm, a kist cast in slate of 7 winters, and long to be smoothed and shaped by the sea. And white bands of quartz will pillow me a headstone. After a decent interval, volcanic rocks will weather to an orange-brown windbar, and I will get my act together and listen to the wind, and only the iron pyrites of my syntax will be left, north facing the sound of hammer and haddy, as the land rebounds until the iapetus ocean closes again. Second poem is called At Lurgan. I thought at Lurgan we had found our European home, yet how little shoulders shrug for the tenderness of Cage, all those good or bad intentions with which ordinary looks are paved, and how much we sink in those few fields submerged a mile or so outside a lion's den from which no tracks return. Mad pup lies wounded, sir, not dead, but does any of it hold water? A rictus of the hood, whose think is loyalty, that blue man of the dam. What has mythology to do with being wrong? In the mirror, let it be read, Da built his pecs like Oppenheimer built his bomb. At night, in kinky black and white, for want of devastation. Mad bitches on the platform flit to polished chrome by so much wanted damp and massive hardness. These are my daughters, and my daughter's age, blink and be born again beyond compassion. Feel free not to clap between poems. I have a 7-year-old wee girl called Lara, and this was written when she was about 1, and quite poorly, living in Dublin at the time, on the north side of Dublin, in Aberhill. It's called Sick Child, Bed City. Skittery scattery do you lie, after a winter's teat, and neat American Freedom Baby Group, or Baby Lenin Looky Likey, to make words up love under the arbor that hangs on the hill, Mons Palatinus, Sorrento's Chip, Brent Town of Crane and Cappuccino, all touching pressure given to lip, feathered by breath, uttered by mouth, held in the ear, set down with fingers. Swell to the eye, you inhabit more than one will. Peasant scenes and faces, canvases featured by Turner's seascapes, taverns hottest never knew. Teething on raw enchantment, you are the spit of Metsu's sick child, forcefully drawn, listlessly tender, an untouched earthenware bowl pap, there beside a brownish mantle. Next poem is a Turner poem, and it's called Varnishing Days. Some Torag has taken liberties to labour love and anarchy above the moss and shore ditch. The sun is God Ken's Turner in his pigment's blindness. Pitching London's livery abed. He has a bit of a gait on him, sees shy-hawks sling their hooks, whitening at gasworks. Low whelk wait emperor to Elba. From his perspective, rain, steam, and speed is opportunity. A barge disloined, laburnum, light of varnishing days. The next poem moves to the Black Sea in southern Russia. It's called Waking to Sochi. An arcade project to miss. Fat, feathery surds. A playground for Black Sea bumpkins. Expunctions smudging the skyline. How I could credit cognac to rekindle in me candles, devoted, pascal, party, or the kind gone AWOL in power cuts, untouched in their pelts of sly dust, marshalled top to toe by thoughts of going to be consumed. How I hoped to be faithful to the world, like Gurov and Oriander, the felt texture of fingerprints, a high watermark of private ruin. How I loved you so much, it hurt to piss. The next one is the title poem from the book Daytime Astronomy, in which a young man lies on his back, staring up at the sky. He seems to be home, but some of the trees are fly, rimed with ice, while others catgut and bone. There are sounds in the grass, horrible, pustular excrescences, and the weather all wrong. Perhaps he has more pretentious limits in mind. Outflows of rock porridge, starry reefs and sacrificial pins, a corn ball, its ritual markings mulched by mullet. Little by little, he is transformed, or stilled, or occupied by grass, lying outside a barn, painting, or hypnotized by the Hamptons, or momentarily halted, bounded by the solitude of storm. The next one is Italy, Rome. It's bit of a sketch. I don't know if any of you know a Scottish band called Mogwai, but there's a song by Mogwai called Tracy, and the beginning of the song is a telephone conversation which is recorded, and it's been an argument with the band. The band have been up all night working on a mix, and there's been a fight, and the band disappear, and there's a Glasgow phrase, a bit of a sketch, something has happened, a bit of a situation. So this is all a bit of a sketch. Beneath the swallowed steps of Via Mediolana, she gives me back my hand. If indeed she is a man, she is a man's man for all that. And all the gods would stand were I to fetch a marrow for her glass. She's got Dickie Davis eyes. I feel them sketch my groove in mincing black, slack and luxuriant as wheel, spooning up her dress to party out of here in plumes of quince and brass. All fingers and punks, I want to stress, I'm back on the sauce. I've had the all clear, yon pimp is on to pump. The next one is in Phnom Penh, in Cambodia, which is a French colonial history. It's called Pages. In the Bibliothèque Nationale, Phnom Penh, fans circulate the pages of each symbolist in the ken of yellow, crimping walls. No one reads French here anymore. No one hears Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings, cool, kindle, winnow a basket of agitated air upon broken spines. Disorient, turn from the east, decline the tableau of a drunken tractor reared above your father's gate. No one minds Corbier throwing shapes, finger me, dust wait. Away, I'll take my own bed. This is a short poem for a young guy I met the last time I was in Glasgow, who had just left the British Army. It's called Erin. That's a block, Erin. Away to the burn, three squaddies at play. Tint of fur routes a water snake, otters in spay. Shall we shoot you then, son? Signifying loch as lake. Return to do pinter, blow ram's horn in winter. The last poem is about my grandfather, who I didn't really know. I only know him from stories from my grandmother, and I found out recently that he was in the Royal Air Force during the Second World War, and he had taken part in the bombing of Dresden. It's called Discovery. The more we learn of this yoke, its lost, forgotten shifts, arcana, ion traps and giddily dichotomous curves of individual fortune. So there is a quality to its frying that manages to calibrate the timbre of our fallen world, liquefied along with other camphor-rich trash, broken tortoiseshell spectacles, discarded xylonite dentures, silver negatives melted down to resin for waterproofing wounds. 10,000 paper crocuses of artificial alpine bloom. It would be impossible to sniff had you ever been there. Had you ever been there? As if the loveliest maid in Europe had wound flechettes like stars around the neck of the Frauenkutter, Western Electric's cavalry outgassing history, occult electromagnetic smash. The more we learn of this yoke, so oddly clamorous, the more ordinary folk